John. 2 John. Finish this little chapter tonight, Lord willing. 2 John. Start reading at verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. All right, look back over here in 2 John with me. And my subject this evening is many deceivers. He said in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world. He goes from talking about walking in love and loving the truth and walking in love and loving those who love the truth. And he goes from that, walk in this commandment, that commandment that you had from the beginning, that you should love one another. He goes from that and then turns right around and say, those who know and love the truth, he says, walk in this truth. Be sure to walk what you heard from the beginning. Walk in it. For many deceivers, verse 7, are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. What should our attitude be toward false preachers? What should our attitude be toward false preachers? You know, Paul asked this question, who maketh thee to differ from another? What have you got that you didn't receive? So anything that we have, anything that we know, anything that we believe, we attribute it to God. We attribute everything that we know and we have to God. Christ taught us. God the Holy Spirit came and revealed Christ to us. But so what should our attitude be towards false prophets? But blessed be the name of the Lord. I tell you, he taught us the truth. He taught us the truth so we may expose the false. And it's how we expose the false. We don't want to be mean or cruel or anything like that. But we walk in love and walk in truth. And then he comes along and says, many deceivers are entering the world. Now I've read quite a bit on this. And John, some say that John was right at 100 years old when he wrote this. About 100 years old. He'd come back from exile on the Isle of Patmos. And maybe he was. He is an old man. And this is the one that the scripture said that he, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he leaned on Jesus' breast, the breast of our Lord Jesus, and yet he lived long enough to see men stand up and deny the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, that he's come in the flesh. They denied that. He saw that. When he conversed with Christ, walked with Christ, leaned on Christ's breast, heard Christ preached, wrote a book about Christ being God. And then he lived long enough to say that there's so many deceivers already out there in the world. Christ ain't been gone very long. I'm the last of the apostles. And I, after all the love and the truth, this is what we got to deal with, what we got to face. Many deceivers are gone into the world. And here he's referring to false teachers, false preachers. And they're described by their character, and by their work. They confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver, called a deceiver. Paul said they were seducers Evil men waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're seducers. And they come along and they promise men things that they can't produce. They promise that if you go to accept Jesus and go on back to the law, that you can be saved over here, but it takes this to sanctify you. You can be saved over here, but yet you got to work your way all the way to heaven. Christ saves you and he'll help you. And they seduce you. And they want you to believe that if you dress a certain way, wear your beard a certain way, wear a certain color of clothes, that you'll be all right with God. Be very strict in your home. Be very strict in your family. And they'll seduce people and cause them to go astray. And yet it don't take much to get somebody to go towards works. It don't take much to get them to go that way at all. Most folks, that's what they want to do. They want to be saved by their works. They don't care if Jesus helps them. They don't care if the church helps them along a little bit. But they really believe that it's ultimately up to them. They've been seduced by false preachers for so long that the scriptures tells us that the way of truth is evil spoken of. The way of truth. Lie has been so told that the way of truth is evil spoken of. But he goes on to say, you know, that these deceivers in the world, and I tell you, these men pretend to be ministers of the word. Ministers of the word. I've told you, I don't know how many times about these commercials on the radio here. Pretend to be ministers of the word. Pretend to love the truth. They pretend to be concerned for men's souls. They say they have a view to God's glory, but they handle the word of God deceitfully. They're imposters. They use a half a verse of scripture. Or they'll use a part of a verse of scripture. And they'll use one thing, and they'll take one scripture and base their whole doctrine on it. Carmelite Church does that. They use Acts 2:38, and they base their whole premise of salvation on that very verse, one verse of scripture. But they handle, you know, people, and how many times quote a half a verse of scripture. Just let me give you an illustration. 2 Peter 3 says this, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Now that's what most men say, that's what it says. So that tells you that God's willing not that anybody perish, but he wants everybody to come to repentance. But that's not what it says. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any of us should perish, but that we should be brought to repentance. So they'll take something and they'll go, you know, give me another illustration. Everything in the Old Testament that does with whosoever has to do, or whosoever will, has to do with free will offerings. Free will offerings. That's all. Every time you find the word whosoever in the Old Testament, it says whosoever will, let him bring of his silver, his gold, or whatever he's got, let him bring it, whosoever will. And there's only one place in the New Testament where whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely and let him drink freely. But they'll take that one verse of scripture and they'll base the whole doctrine of free will on whosoever will. And then it says whosoever will, let him take. How can you take something that you don't even know exists? Take of the water of life freely. Now, how will you get the will? That's the first question that you'd ask somebody. Somebody would ask, where would you get the will? Where would you get the will to take of the water of life? Where are you going to get the will? So men, that's what I'm talking about. They handle the word of God deceitfully. They're imposters. Look with me over here in 1 John 2:18. Read back over here in 1 John 2:18. Oh, you know, Paul called them an imposters. That are false apostles. And look what he says here. Little children, 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. That's how far he thought, boy, this is the last time. This is the last days. We're at the end of this thing. As ye have heard, that an Antichrist shall come. You've heard that he's going to come. Oh, everybody, people are looking for the Antichrist now, a great big man to rise up and deceive the whole world, lead the whole world astray. They're expecting one man to rise up, the world is, and religion is, one man going to rise up and be this great Antichrist. You've heard that that Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many, many Antichrists, whereby we know that is the last time. What is an Antichrist? Anybody that preaches anything but Jesus Christ as the only hope of salvation, the only righteousness. And that's why, you know, I read it to you. And look over here in 2 Peter. Let me show you 2 Peter chapter 2. Back over to your left. 2 Peter chapter 2. That's why, you know, I read, I believe it was Sunday morning, out of Matthew 7. Said, beware of false prophets. He said, you know, at the gate, straight gate. That's where the false prophets hang out at. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They come dressed like sheep, look like sheep. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they're ravening wolves. And then he says, you'll know them by their fruits. Will men gather grapes of thorns? Or will they gather figs off of thistles? And he said, that's how you'll know them, by their fruits. By their fruits. And they're inwardly ravening wolves. And look what the apostle said here in 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people. Oh my, how many false prophets there was. And when the true prophets came along, they belittled them and ridiculed them. Jeremiah was blessed of God to write a book. And he said, you take that up there and see that the king gets it. Well, the king got it. He got mad and took a knife to it, pen knife to it, and threw it away. And while he was prophesying to them, telling them what God said, these other false prophets would get right up in the king's face and said, oh, don't listen to what Jeremiah says. Don't hear anything he's got to say. God's not going to do anything he says. So what did he do with Jeremiah? Put him in the dungeon, kept all the false prophets around him. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, coming among you, who shall privately, they go sneak in. They go come in and get a few over here and get a few over there, shall bring in damnable heresies. Listen to this, even denying the Lord that bought them. They deny the power and effectualness of the blood of Christ and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And listen to this, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, deadly ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. And this is where they're at, through covetousness. They covet you, they covet your money, they covet your praise, they covet your honor, and they covet with covetousness shall they with feigned words, made up words, phony words, make merchandise of you. All you are is a piece of merchandise to use, whose judgment of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now that's where we're at. But now let's go back over here in 2 John. What was their message? John said, these deceivers confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. You know what it is to confess something? When he says here, confess not, and we do confess, confess is what you believe. I confess every time I preach that Jesus Christ is all in all. I confess that. I confess that I have no ability. I confess that I'm impotent. I confess that if I have a righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness. If I have a salvation, salvation's of the Lord. If I'm saved, it's by the grace of God. If I'm washed by my sins, it's the blood of Christ. That's what I confess. And I confess that publicly. And you confess the same thing publicly. But these men, they won't confess that. You know what their confession is? Why, that Jesus Christ is just a man. He's not God come in the flesh. He's just a man. That's all he is. They confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now they'll admit. They'll say, oh, he's a prophet. Oh, he's a good prophet. The Muslims believe Jesus Christ is a prophet. And they'll go on and say, boy, what a teacher he was. Oh, I never heard such teaching. His teaching, if people could just live by his teaching. And oh, yes, oh, listen, he was healer. God gave him special powers to heal people. And they'll even go so far as to say he was a messenger from God. But they deny that he is incarnate. They deny that Jesus Christ was incarnate, that our Lord Jesus Christ, before he came through the womb of a virgin, was God. Huh? Oh, they deny that the Word was made flesh and sent to dwell among us. They deny that. Again, look over here in 1 John 4. You know, Isaiah said it like this. Unto us a child is given. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. What are you going to call him? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So Isaiah knew that the man that was coming was going to be the Mighty God. But this is what John said. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Why do you want to try them? Why, everybody loves God. Everybody loves Jesus. Everybody believes Jesus is the Savior. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Now look how he changes here the word spirit. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Capitalized. How do we know the Spirit of God? Every spirit that confesses, you confess this, I confess this, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. You believe that that man who came here, Jesus Christ, never was flesh before, but he became flesh. Assumed a body. God prepared him a body. And we confess that. Who else could forgive us our sins and have the power to save us other than God in Christ? Who could bear our sins in his own body other than God in Christ? And oh, and he said this, and here's how we know the difference. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and already is now in the world. Now in the world, all who deny that Jesus Christ, that's what he went on to say, all that deny that Jesus Christ is a deceiver and an Antichrist. I want to show you one thing before I get on to my next verse. Look over in John 10:30. You know, it's a sad, sad thing. You would not believe how many people are out here in these churches today that absolutely have no idea of who Jesus Christ is. Have no idea who he is. Try this experiment. Get on the phone. Call some of these preachers around. Call some of them up. Call a Carmelite preacher up. Call a Free Will Baptist preacher up. Call a Baptist preacher up. Call up the Methodist preacher and ask him. Said, who is Jesus Christ? What do you think of Jesus Christ? Who do you think he is? And see what they say. Just try it. And see what they say. See if they tell you he's God. See if they tell you, said, well, if you'll let him, he'll be your personal Savior. Well, he came here to save the whole world. If you want to be saved, come up here and we'll tell you how it's done. Try it. Now, you get on the phone and call some of them and see what they say. I know some of the teachers and I know some of the preachers and I already know what they believe. I already know what they say. And oh, listen, down here in John 10:30, look what it says. Our Lord Jesus says this, I and my Father are one. Now, me and my son are not one. We got the same nature, but I'm my own man. He's his own man. Got two distinct natures, two distinct personalities. But he said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Our Lord answered them, said, for how many good works have I showed you from my Father? For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not. Listen to it. But for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. You may be somebody, but you ain't God. That's what they're telling him. Now, back over here in verse 8. So we deal with them deceivers. Then he talks to the elect lady now. He exhorts the elect lady and her children. He said, look to yourselves. You know, look around you. Look to yourselves. Pay attention to what's going on around you. You look and see for yourselves that this error has taken place out here. And then you take care of yourselves. You beware of these false teachers. Beware of their doctrine. Beware of them and their doctrine. And then he says, and then he goes on to say, that we lose not those things which we have wrought. And in the margin it says, which we have gained. You know, we don't lose those things or throw away all that we've labored for and that we've gained. The truth that we gained, the love that we gained, Christ that we gained, forgiveness that we've gained. Huh? What you've gained in Christ. And he says, don't lose your reward, but that you may receive a full reward. Now, here's the thing. What he's saying is if you follow these deceivers, you look to yourselves, you and your children. Because if you follow these deceivers and you go after them deceivers, all that gain that you've had, ever place you've been, you'll lose it all. And you won't receive the reward, which is Christ. And if we depart from Christ, there remains no more sacrifices for sin. And Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And all, beloved, so what he's saying is, persevere in the faith of Christ with all this error and all this deceivers out in the world. Persevere in the faith of Christ until we're made like him. And I tell you, beloved, and I look over and just go to your left a little bit to get to Hebrews chapter 3. You know, there's no danger. You know, it says these deceivers are going out into the world. But the scriptures tells us that they would deceive the very elect if it was possible. But John is saying, now listen, these deceivers are going out. And you're God's elect lady, but now, Lord, listen. You've gained. God's blessed you to gain Christ. Blessed you to gain your family and blessed you to gain the truth. And whatever you do, you look to yourselves. Don't let these fellows deceive you. You listen, you pay attention to this error that's going on around you. Don't fool around and lose. Look what he said in Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast, or when we hold fast, could say it that way, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope, firm to how? To the end of our life or when Christ comes. Look down at verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. And this is not an if of uncertainty, but an if of evidence, if I could say it that way. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. I mean, persevere in Christ. Persevere in Christ. And then back over then in verse 9. Let's look at verse 9 just for a minute. You know, it's a sad, sad thing to watch people fall away. To watch people fall away. It's a sad thing. I've seen two or three from this place fall away. Just lose interest. I don't know what happens to them. You know, you pray for them, you talk to them, you just don't. It's a sad, sad thing. You don't want nobody to walk away from the gospel. But it don't happen all at once. That's another thing about deception and error. People don't just walk away from the gospel at once. They hear this truth, and then they'll go home, see if that's so or not. And then if they listen to somebody else, say, no, that could be right, because it says it's over here. And the next thing you know, in just a little while, they miss a service, and then they'll come back, and then they'll miss another one. Next thing you know, they'll miss more and more and more and more and more. And then they're gone. That's sad, ain't it? That's sad. We don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen. Look what he says in verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Whosoever transgresseth. Now he's not talking about transgressing the law, because there's not a person who doesn't transgress the law of God. But what he's talking about, transgressing and abiding not in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. But all the person, and that's what he's saying, the person who denies the doctrine of Christ. The Messiah. He says here, has not does not, will not, cannot believe God, hath not God. That's what he says. You transgress the doctrine of Christ, and you don't know God. Not at all. But look what he says here now. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Do you think a Catholic knows God? Do you think a Jehovah's Witness knows God? Do you think a Christian Science knows God? Do you think a Unitarian knows God? And that's what I'm talking about. These people all deny the doctrine of Christ. All deny it. But look what he says here. So they don't know God. They haven't not God. There was a fella come up to my house about a year ago. He was a preacher and he had somebody with him. He told me he was a preacher and I forget where he said he was from. And he wanted to talk to me and witness to me and everything. And I just said this. I said, you know, said I'm a pastor myself. I said, I've been pastoring the same church for 38 years. He said, well, I'll see you then. You know, I said, I'll see you. You know, I said, I'll see you. And he asked me if I believed in what I believed about God. That's what he did ask me that question. I said, I believe he's sovereign. I believe he rules and reigns over everything in this world, including the numbers of the hairs of our head and the fowls of the air and everything that happened. God rules and reigns in this world. And he said, well, I'll see you then. I tell my neighbor that all the time. God reigns. I tell him, God reigns. See that leaf? God directed that leaf. If he didn't, if anything, listen, if anything's out of the control of God, I mean to the smallest dust in the air, that means somebody else is controlling. Now, ain't that right? Either God controls and runs everything to the dust particles in there. When you're looking at the dust particles in the window light, in the winter, and you see them floating in the air, if God ain't in control of them, who is? Now, that's how sovereign I believe God is. And how he's, and that's what he says. But he that abides, and he said in verse 9, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Well, what is this doctrine of Christ that we abide in, dwell in, live in? Huh? Well, first thing is it about his person. The doctrine of Christ has to do with the person of Christ. The person of Christ as the Son of God. And Scott used to say this all the time. He said, he's as much man as if he was not God, as much God as if he was not man, and yet he's God and man in one person, two unions joined together, and they wasn't in conflict. Huh? Two natures, God nature, man's nature, in one person. And he was as much God as if he did. Sometimes you never know he's a man when he's walking on water, when he was calming the storms, when he was raising the dead. But when he fell asleep in a ship, then you knew he was a man. Then he knew he's a man. And oh, so we the doctrine of Christ has to do with the person of Christ. Shirley asked me the other night, said, do you ever picture Christ in your mind? I said, no, I don't never see a picture in my mind of Christ. I don't never. Years and years ago, you would, but I've never, since I've learned the gospel, when I close my eyes, I do not see a picture of Christ. I don't see this long-haired person. I don't see that. You know what I know about Christ? I know something about his personality. I know something about his character. I can tell you something about his nature. I can describe to you his holiness. I can describe to you his love. I can describe that he's powerful. I can describe to you that he's compassion. I can describe to you that he's merciful. I can tell you so many things about him as a person. He's a shepherd. I can describe him as a person, but I can't tell you a thing in the world about what he looks like physically. And I don't care. I'll see him as he is one of these days, and I'll know what he looks like then. It don't make no difference what he looks like now. It's what who he is. We're dealing with a person. And then his offices. Oh, the doctrine of Christ is his offices. He has so many offices, but the first office he has is as a mediator. You know, we got to have a mediator. How in the world can we go to God without a mediator? Somebody between us and God. Well, the only mediator between us and God is the man, Christ Jesus. There's a man in glory. And then he's a surety. He said, you know, it's like Judah said when he wanted Benjamin to come down there. Said, you let him come, and if I don't bring him back home to you, said, you Hold me responsible. You charge it to my account. And Christ, as I surety said, if I don't bring all the sheep home, then you can hold me responsible. You reckon he's going to take us all home? Bring us all back? Huh? And then, oh my, he's a prophet. He was God's prophet. Oh, he told out God. He said, the words that I speak, they're not mine, but my Father's. He is a prophet, and he is a priest, and he offers sacrifices. And who did he offer as a sacrifice? Himself. And then he's the King. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. And the third thing I've written about the doctrine of Christ is his redemptive work. He came here to do a work to save his people. And how he's going to save his people was by being obedient from the day he was born, even obedient unto the death of the cross. He was obedient to his Father in every way. Then he suffered. He suffered for our sins. He suffered for under the wrath of God. He suffered at the hands of men. He suffered. And he died. And then on the third morning, he was raised from the dead. 40 days and 40 nights, he appeared unto his disciples. And then one morning, they walked out to the Mount of Olives, and our Lord Jesus Christ started going back to glory. And just same way he come, he going to come back. That's his return. He going to come back. And you know what he's going to do? He going to judge the whole world. And everybody that don't know him and bow the knee to him, they're going to everyone bow. And then the goats will be put over here, and the sheep will go yonder. Huh? Oh my, that's the doctrine of Christ. That's our King. That's redemption. That's eternal glory. And the man who abides, lives in this doctrine, delights in this doctrine, rejoices, lives in this doctrine. She said, I rejoice that your children walk in the truth. We abide in this truth. He has both the Father and the Son if you abide in this blessed truth. And I tell you, we want to know the true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. And then he says in verse 10, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So if one of these fellows comes to your house, comes into the church here, somebody was to come into the church, and they come as a preacher, they come as a teacher, a religious leader, and they don't preach the doctrine of Christ, but despises it and denies. Don't allow him to preach. Don't allow him to preach. Don't allow him to preach in the house of God. Don't entertain him into your own home. You know, Paul says, you know, they come preaching another gospel, which is not another. And I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And oh, look in Romans 16:17. I'm taking way too long. I know I am, but look in Romans 16:17. I'm telling you, people don't want to be rude. Don't want to be rude, but I'm telling you what: when somebody comes and they want to debate with you whether Jesus Christ is God or not, and there is a group of people that say that if you say Jesus Christ is God, you've made an idol out of him, is what they say. Well, he's an idol for me then. I idolize him. I do. I really do. Look what he says in verse 17, Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. I don't even let them get out of the car if I'm outside when they come to my house. They ain't coming years ago. I don't even let them get out of the car. If Elder comes, as sweet as she is, if she was a Jehovah's Witness and come to the house and started getting her foot out on the ground, I'd say, just put it back in the car. Just don't even bother getting out. You know? But, there ain't no buts. Just put your foot back in the car and go on. Though Frank Sapp, any of y'all remembers Frank Sapp? He sat down in his yard one day and a fella come up and wanted to talk to old Frank. Frank was tough pine. Oh my goodness, he was tough as a pine knot. And he is sitting out in the yard doing something or another, and this fellow won't talk to him. There's some poker laying there and by a pile of wood. And old Frank said, "Now I'm telling you, get away from here. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Get on out of here." That fellow just kept talking. Old Frank Ransom got that poker and said, "I mean, get out of here right now and don't let me see you. Can't shake the dust off your feet or I'll take this poker to you." "Don't even shake the dust off your feet. Don't get out there and do like that." Oh, boy. I tell you, that's what he means. Oh, listen. Come anybody bringing this doctrine. And then look what it says. Don't receive him into your house, into the church, or into your house. Don't say, "Come on in here." Neither bid him Godspeed. Don't say, "God bless you. May the Lord bless you with health and prosperity." Don't encourage him. Don't give him the impression that you're sympathetic with him and that you understand him and that you're sorry that he's so misinformed. No, he's not misinformed. He believes what he's out telling other people. And then look what he says in verse 11. "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Those who wish false teachers well and who encourage them, who converse with them and talk with them in a friendly, familiar way, instead of reproving them, shunning them as they ought to, you're aiding, the Bible tells us we're aiding and abetting them and supporting in them their tax on Christ. And he said, if you do that, you're just as well as guilty as they are of preaching that false doctrine. Now, I don't want to be guilty of that. And then he says, "I have many things to write unto you," in verse 12, "but I would not write with paper and ink." I've got a lot of things we'll talk with you about. "And I have wrote unto you, but I'm not going to sit down with paper and ink and write to you. But I trust, I hope to visit you and talk with you personally, face to face, mouth to mouth, look at you, embrace you, and you embrace me. And we can talk. And oh, listen, we get to be able to talk face to face. And when that happens, our joy will just be so full of being able to visit, be able to talk." And then look, why, evidently she had a sister that was elect too. Not only was she the elect lady, but look what it says. "The children of thy elect sister." He's got a sister that's elect too. "The children of thy elect sister greet thee." What he's saying was, be sure and tell the elect lady that we said hi, that we're thinking of her and we love her, and send them our greetings. Tell them how much we appreciate them. And that's what he's saying to them. And then he said, "Amen. Amen." Our Father, in the blessed name, blessed name, blessed, blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, our Savior, our hope, our righteousness, our only standing, our only access to you is through him, by him, because of him. We're forgiven for his sake. You receive us for his sake. And Lord, help us never, ever to deny Christ, deny the doctrine of Christ, and keep us believing and abiding in the doctrine of Christ, the truth of Christ, our Lord, as God manifest in the flesh, as the Word sent to dwell among us, full of grace, full of truth, full of glory. We ask these things in his holy name. Amen. Amen.